Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to dig into the OHSAA White Book and dig into these points of emphasis for 2026 and see what's going on. David, this is a great fun episode for me because it's one where I'm not going to have these recording issues, hopefully, with the microphones and the sounds. And I don't have to play disclaimers beforehand and everything else. We're back. We're starting fresh. We got it going. We're not in the same room, but we've got good equipment and we should be rocking and rolling.
It's going to sound great, Pete. Actually, the last four episodes have been fantastic and no complaints from our listeners. So we've actually had some feedback from listeners. Thank you very much for bringing that to us. A couple of phone calls need to be made. So we really love the engagement. So if you would please engage with us. Hey, Pete, before we get started, I have to do something here. I have to give a shout out to my new best friends that I met overseas. So I just got back from being out of the country, and I met Yvonne and Sean at the Martini Bar, learning how to drink 1800 Añejo Old Fashions. So fantastic time. Great people. Spent a lot of fun time speaking with them, hearing their stories and telling our stories. So lots of fun there. Yvonne did fail to tell me, though. She's really got a cool career. She's an editor in the movie or in television space, I think, more than movies, if I'm not mistaken. But that did a lot of the jail stuff, so that was exciting to hear about. She did fail to tell me, though, that she's most famous for Queer Eye and Are You My First? So that was interesting. I had to get home to find this stuff out. So I'm not sure why, Yvonne, you didn't tell me that.
She's humble. She was humble. She didn't want to big dog you there.
Yeah, that could be it. So anyway, I promised you a shout out, and there it is. So now that we've got that taken care of, Pete, what are we going to talk about today for our umpiring listeners?
Yeah, so we're going to cover the points of emphasis for 2026, the NFHS ones, not for OHSA. So this is broad, as well as some of the rule changes here that are in. It's pretty short on the rule changes, but the emphasis is longer.
All right, so NFHS, points of emphasis. And Pete, it's probably worth pointing out for some of our newer umpires, what you clarified there, classified, I think, was that there's a couple of different ones that we care about for high school. The NFHS, the whole federation, has its set of points of emphasis, but the OHSAA brings in their own points of emphasis for Ohio specifically on top of that.
So NFHS, National Federation of High Schools, and then and that's the governing body for all kind of sports, so like football, baseball, all under NFHS in high schools. OHSAA is Ohio High School Athletic Association, I think, and then that sets the rules across multiple sports in Ohio. And they adopt the NFHS rules with some tweaks, like many other states and associations.
Awesome. So the first one here is about obstruction. And boy, isn't this just one of our funnest?
Everything. Yeah, every time. You get five people's opinion on obstruction. You get five fans' opinion on obstruction. They're always different.
That's right. Especially
so right here.
So I was going to say, especially when they call it interference.
Exactly. That's how you know what? Just ignore them. Right. So obstruction is defined as the act of a defensive player who hinders or impedes a batter's attempt to contact a pitch or impedes the legal progress of a runner or batter runner advancing on the bases. This act may be intentional or unintentional, and it can be either physical or verbal. However, obstruction does not apply if the defensive player is in possession of the ball or is making the initial play on a batted ball. And so what do you take from that? There's some key points, I think, that are important reminders for just from that paragraph.
So the words are coming straight out of the rule book, and we kind of chuckle when we think about obstruction and we think about interference in both of those cases. But specifically, when we think about obstruction, we're almost always, our brain goes to a base running situation, right? It's the it's the girl trying to turn a single into a double, and the first baseman didn't get out of the way, and you know they run into each other, and you know now the base runner's been obstructed. But the words always start out with hinders or impedes a batter's attempt to contact a pitch. Yes, that's obstruction. Also, the catcher's in the way. You know, and she gets her catcher's mitt hit. You know, with the bat. That's obstruction.
And that is called catcher's obstruction in softball. In baseball, they do call it catcher's interference, and they mix the words for whatever reason. But in softball, that is catcher's obstruction.
Yeah. You can't really take those baseball people serious. Their ball's too
small. Can't take them seriously.
And it's white, and you know the bases are too far apart. There's all kinds of problems with baseball.
Yeah.
That's just one of them. So that's part of it. And then the other one is that obstruction does not apply if the defensive player is in possession of the ball or is making the initial play on the batted ball, right? So if you have the ball, you can't obstruct. It's all good. Yep.
Then, but the important thing here, and this is the key, and so many people miss this, especially casual fans and stuff, but I feel like there are probably some officials maybe that miss this point as well. The central element in identifying obstruction lies in whether the runner's progress was actually impeded. Is actually impeded.
That's right.
If the runner or batter runner is not affected, if there's no delay, no forced alteration of their path, or no hesitation, then by rule, obstruction has not occurred. A defensive player's mere presence or positioning, even if questionable, cannot be ruled as obstruction unless it results in an actual impediment to the runner. An exception exists only for a fake tag, which always constitutes obstruction, regardless of whether physical impediment occurs.
Yeah, and that's rule 2-20, right? Yep. 2-20.
Yep. Drop it. Let them know.
Yep. So, yeah, and this is a great one. Just as we, for our college umpires out there, you know, we've got some things talking about where the defensive player set up. Did she set up in the path of the base and that kind of thing? There's some clarifications for this year in that space, too. NFHS, crystal clear right here. Obstruction has not occurred if there is no delay, no forced alteration of their path, and no hesitation. That batter runner was not impeded. And they were not slowed. And there, if that's the case, then there was no obstruction, unless it was a fake tag.
Yep. And so it even goes on, this article, to say, what does impeding a runner mean? What does that even mean? It's a word, impeding. We don't use that every day. Well, it tells you right here. Impeding a runner means creating a negative effect on their ability to run the bases. This might include a runner slowing down, altering their intended path, stopping altogether, retreating to a previous base, or contacting a fielder that disrupts their movement. These examples underscore that the umpire must rely on judgment to determine both whether the runner was impeded and to what extent their progress was affected, which we'll talk about why that's important later. But so it's important here to say, keep in mind, that could involve them turning around. They're saying, you know, maybe they altered their path, maybe everything else. They may have gone back to third base because that catcher was standing in the way, and that made them not want to go deal with that. They didn't want to have to run around. They didn't have to maybe accidentally make contact or intentionally make contact even. Whatever is going on, the fact that they went back happened because the catcher set up improperly. Then that's obstruction. However, if they turn around, they're chucking, they're coming to home, catcher's standing in the way, picking daisies, but they keep coming, and then the catcher gets out of the way, and they never stop coming. It's not obstruction.
That's right. Yep, for sure. But if we do have obstruction... Yep, mm-hmm. That's right. Not an NFHS. Yep. And so, but if we do have obstruction, then we have to deal with rule violations and the penalty for that. And unlike many rule violations in softball that carry standardized penalties, such as awarding two bases for a thrown ball that goes out of play or one base for a pitched ball entering dead ball territory, obstruction rulings are situational and they vary based on the specifics of each play. Super important here. The purpose of the obstruction award is not to penalize the defensive team arbitrarily, but to nullify the negative effect of the obstruction. Love that. So you obstructed my runner. She's not going to go get home for free when you obstructed her at first because, you know, just because you're now in trouble. It's like, no, we're just trying to undo the bad thing you did.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that. And so the runners are not being granted an advantage. Rather, they are being restored to the position they would have achieved had the obstruction not occurred. Again, words right out of the book.
Yep.
Important to understand because these are good conversations to have with coaches who might not understand the obstruction rules.
Yeah, when they come out and want to talk to you about it, use these words.
Awarding the bases. Yep. Awarding the bases they would have attained had the obstruction not occurred. So this could mean advancing the runner. Or in some cases, it could mean returning them to a previous base, whatever is necessary to correct the disruption caused by the obstruction based in the umpire's judgment.
Yeah. So talk about that. What would mean, why would I return them to a previous base? So I, as the umpire, set the runner back. Doesn't seem bad. You know, what happened that would have made me do that? It's likely they were put out. That was the problem. So maybe they're put out. They slowed down because the person was in the way, and that caused them to then catch the ball that was being thrown to them and then tag that runner out because the runner slowed down or stopped or delayed or ran weirdly or whatever happened. In that case, dead ball that thing. And then you say, you signaled obstruction, you dead balled it, and you put the runner, you may put the runner back on second or you may put them to third, depending on what happened. But one of the reasons to send them back would be that they were put out and then you just put them back to two because you didn't think they'd get three.
Well, that's a great example, Pete. The other thing I was just thinking about, we saw in social media posts just on Facebook the other day, may have been yesterday, and I posted, and so far nobody's taken me up on it, so nobody gets the shout out. But I had said, here's the thing. So there was a lot of talk about, is it NFHS, NCAA, you know, what's the award? And I said, guys, all sanctions, you award the base she would have obtained had the obstruction not occurred. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think the play that they were talking about, and I may mess this up, but play they were talking about was she was obstructed at first base on a clear triple, and she tried to go home, and she got tagged out on a bang bang play at home. Where do you put her? And some people were arguing, well, she only gets second base.
Second base? What?
Nope. It's like, well, because they're confusing the protected from being put out between first and second. So she's not protected home. And it's like, oh, well, I get that. I get that how you might feel that way. But in every single sanction, and I said, hey, prove me wrong by rule citation. And if you do, you get a really cool shout out on the podcast, because, you know, shout outs on the podcast are really cool. But so, you know, in all sanctions, you award the base that would have been attained had the obstruction not occurred.
Yep.
And so the protection piece, so let's talk about that just real quick, because we are going to emphasize obstruction here for this year, NFHS. The protection piece says she was called out, and the only way she is 100% not out is if she was between the two bases, right? And so it is impossible for her to have been called out between first and second base. So obstructed by the first baseman after touching first base, no matter what happens, with the exception of interference, there's three, right? Interference, malicious contact, and one other. Oh, man, we're going to have to look that one up. Actually, no, I'm not going to look it up. In fact, I want one of our listeners to please interact with us and tell us the third thing that would cancel that obstruction. But assuming she was obstructed between first and second base by the first baseman, and then she were tagged out between first and second, she cannot be out between first and second. In our situation where we're talking about she was obstructed between first and second and then tried for home, she can be tagged out between home and third. Mm-hmm. She can be. And if she had been out by 10 feet, then it would be like, oh, no, you're out. And you were only protected between first and second. But since since it was so close, a bang banger, you know, at home, it's like, nope. Had she not been obstructed, she would have made home. In my judgment, as an umpire, she's going to get awarded home.
Yeah.
Right. Make sense?
Yep.
Awesome. So let's see. What's another point of emphasis for 2026, Pete? I think we have maintaining an unobstructed view, right?
Yeah. So they're talking about how do you position yourself so that you can see this that we're discussing. So there's times when an umpire must move from their primary position to maintain an unobstructed view of a play. This mentioned several times in NFHS softball manual, but until now, there's not been any guidance for the umpire in the manual. Information has been added to the manual to explain aspects of the play that should be considered when moving from the primary position to maintain an unobstructed view of the play. So what are the key elements we're going to do?
So there are key interactions of the four elements, offense, defense, ball, and base, on each play that need to be viewed clearly to make a judgment call. So on tag plays, the defense contacting the offense with the ball, tagging the runner. The defense controlling the ball through the process of applying the tag, right? So those two things on the tag plays, defense contacting the offense with the ball, tagging the runner, and the defense controlling the ball through the process of applying the tag. The offense contacting the base, all three of these key interactions must remain within the umpire's view to make an accurate judgment call on the play. Also, when adjusting, an umpire needs to maintain proper distance to ensure no key interactions of the play are missed. So the details of each play include these four things, Pete.
Yep. So the details are defensive positioning, direction, height, and timing of the throw, the path of the runner, and the timing of the ball and the runner arriving near the base. So we got to have all of these items need to be evaluated in each play prior to moving from your primary positioning, as each play develops slightly differently. They want you to understand how these items are going to come together in a particular play, allowing the umpire to determine where the key interactions will occur, allowing them to adjust when necessary to maintain the unobstructed view of the play.
Yeah, I think what I take most from that is don't have concrete in your shoes. You know, you move to that primary position where you're supposed to go to call the play, and something's going to happen and cause you to move. You have to lean around something, or you have to, and then I always think about these. I think about the the moving screen or you know, the hip check when you're trying to do a screen. Move your feet, guys, I guess is the bottom line, and gals. Don't try to lean too much to see around something. Move, right? Adjust your position.
Right.
Move into a position where you can see all of these elements, all four of those details, the defense positioning, the direction, the height, and the timing of the throw, the path of the runner, the timing of the ball, and the runner arriving near the base. You got to be able to see it all. All of that stuff can impact where you need to be standing. So go to your initial spot. If any one of the four elements gets in the way, or something gets in the way of you seeing any of the four elements, you really need to move. Because that's the question you get from the coach when the coach comes out, if they're educated, right? If they've been educated as a coach as to how to interact with umpires, they're going to come out and say, I think you were missing an element of that play. Would you please go to your partner? It's really hard to say no on that one. Of course you can, right? And this is definitely something we can talk about, but it's depending on the assigner that you're working for and whatnot. They have different ways of thinking about this. When a coach asks, then you just go. Or if a coach asks, you can say, no, I had all four elements of the play. You may have even seen me adjust my positioning, coach, because something did get in my way. And so I adjusted my positioning so that I could have all four elements. I had all four elements and I have an out.
Yep. There you go.
Yep. So that's a pretty good point of emphasis this year, Pete. I like it. Two of them, obstruction and making a move to make sure that you have an unobstructed view of the play. Good stuff from the NFHS.
Yep. And I think that runs us up for this episode. So we talked about these points of emphasis, and next time we'll get into some of the rule changes that we're going to see for this year.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks.